Russia and China strengthen their relationship as tensions grow in Ukraine. This is Brief Before Impact. Hey, welcome everyone. I am Matt Parker. Going to be talking about recent events between Russia and China, as with the ongoing tensions in Ukraine and as well as the Winter Olympics getting kicked off in China. Recently, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping have announced their enhancement and strengthening of their relationship between their two countries. And this comes at a very perilous time as tensions have grown recently between Russia, its troops along the Ukrainian border, and NATO led by the United States. We're going to talk about the impacts of the strengthening of this relationship, both from a security perspective and economically between the two countries, and how the West might adapt. But before we do, let me take a quick ad break and then we'll get started. All right, welcome back, everyone. So amid the spectacle of the start of the Winter Olympics, Chinese President Xi Jinping offered solidarity to his counterpart, President Vladimir Putin, at a meeting in Beijing amid high tensions with the West, according to Reed Standish for Radio Free Europe. Now, the February 4th visit was their first in-person summit in 2 years after Xi stopped seeing foreign dignitaries because of the coronavirus pandemic. But it marks a new era in ties between Beijing and Moscow that continue to strengthen politically, economically, and militarily. And a joint declaration, Putin and Xi heralded their relationship and sought to show a common front against rising Western pressure amid the Kremlin's showdown with the West over Ukraine. In a joint statement, quote, the sides oppose further enlargement of NATO and call on the North Atlantic Alliance to abandon its Cold War approach. That's the end of that statement. Now, the impact of a relationship strengthening between China and Russia is felt primarily both in a strategic security perspective and how that influences both NATO's actions in Eastern Europe, and as well as just the United States and its allies operating in East Asia near the South China Sea, and as well as economically. When you look at what China and Russia are trying to do, the reason this relationship is growing right now is because at the end of the day, those two countries do not want strong democracies operating near its borders, because that is indirect antithesis to their authoritarian-like systems that both Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin so much enjoy. So when it comes to a position concerning just the global order, it's the fact is that neither one of these countries likes the U.S.-led global order, and this partnership is in direct opposition to it. Now, it's important not to look at these two countries as one and the same. No, quite the opposite. They are both very devoted to their own strategic autonomy. Really, this is just a balance of power in terms of international relations that you might be familiar with. And they have similar interests, though their values might not be aligned. They can align together from both a joint military exercises or an enhanced economic relationship in order to see those interests best met. So now we see, you know, Western countries adapting similar ways to this when you have like the United States to Australia, as well as countries in Europe, all concerned about like different Chinese policies and whether that's the movement against Taiwan or targeting dissenters in Hong Kong, perhaps the Uyghur Muslim minority group in China's Xinjiang region. All these things are getting pushed back by Western countries, and that global order is in fact ran by the United States. So Russia and China want to strengthen themselves where they can in order to push back and may ensure that they're dominating their spheres of influence on the world stage. Now, the way they need each other from a security perspective is in a couple of ways. For example, China needs Russian weapons. They need its energy and support against this Western pressure. And for example, Russia agreed in 2015 to sell China 24 combat aircraft and 4 S-400 surface-to-air missile systems for about $7 billion. And now on the economic side, China became Russia's number one trading partner in 2017. Again, the country's values might not be one and the same, but their interest in, fact, pushing back against a U.S. global-led order, that is certainly aligned. So from a security perspective, they're going to continue to grow towards a deeper alliance and partnership, whether that's joint military exercises or even using perhaps joint military bases in different parts of the world. You will see that to continue to grow. And this is how they maintain their strength and their positions wherever those, particularly those spheres of influence, matter the most regarding both their economic status and the countries they're looking to influence in their different regions, whether it's in Eastern Europe or East Asia. From an economic perspective, now Russia depends on China's massive industrial economy for oil and gas exports, especially as environmental rules in the European Union complicate energy imports there. That's according to Vasily Kashin, senior fellow at the Institute of Far Eastern Studies. So recently we've seen Russia agreeing to a 30-year contract to supply China, supply gas to China via a new pipeline. A big driver for that was because of China's recent coal shortage. This was just last year. And we can see as well as something, since the annexation of Crimea in 2014 and the U.S. imposing different economic sanctions on Russia, it's the success or failure of U.S. efforts just to impose meaningful costs on Russia, if it were to escalate, has been seen to test whether the U.S. could do something similar in Asia. For example, after repeated summits between Xi Jinping and Putin, including Xi's description of Putin as, quote, his best friend, it's China's approach to Russia amid a crisis will also be interpreted as sending signals about China's own capabilities and influence. And so for when we look at the recent issue of like Ukraine and what will China's response be, it's not that China will not see a new phase of war between Russia and Ukraine as a peripheral issue in its own foreign policy, even though China has no core issues at stake in Ukraine itself. It's China is most likely to be implicated in a crisis by potential Western sanctions on Russia, right? So, which in contrast to 2014 will impose substantially more pressure on Beijing to take sides. So China's decision to adhere to new Western sanctions to help Russia avoid them will shape escalation pathways and determine a magnitude of economic and political response. And this is according to Chris Miller from the Foreign Policy Research Institute. So now as the two countries have become more intertwined, it's these foreign policy issues that perhaps China may have not been interested so much in the past. Now that there's a greater interlinking between the two countries, something that happens in Ukraine now indeed does affect China because it pushes its hand on how it will then operate with Russia in the future, especially if there's an international coalition pushing back against Russia aggression in Eastern Europe. And last point from an economic outlook, when you just look at the economics of these two countries, you're looking at a different scale of the ambitions of these two countries because the ambitions of China and Russia really reflects the difference in their economic potential. Russia's economy, for example, it's roughly now the size of Italy's. So Moscow just doesn't have the wealth to sustain a bid for just that global supremacy, right? When you contrast that against China, who is in some ways the world's largest economy, it's also the world's largest manufacturer and exporter, population over 1.4 billion people. It's about roughly 10 times that of Russia. And as a result, it is realistic for China to aspire to be the most powerful country in the world. So commentators don't need to make that mistake of saying, well, China and Russia are now operating as one. No, they're not capable of doing that. Even though they can help one another out accomplish their goals, they indeed have to be treated as two entities because simply they are not able to operate the same as the other because they're the lack of potential, especially from economic and military perspective. So that's not wise to look at them both in that way. And which goes into how will things move forward between these two countries, whether it's an issue with Ukraine or something closer to China with the issue of Taiwan, for perhaps. Again, according to Reed Standish for the Radio for Europe, and as things get deeper between the two countries, they're also becoming more asymmetric in China's favor, from trade to the economy to politics. Now, a lot of these dynamics will depend on Ukraine. So a military conflict there could trigger a new round of more severe Western sanctions against Russia and lead to two consequences for China. The first is that a large-scale security conflict with Russia will dominate the second half of Joe Biden's presidency and suck up lots of oxygen in decision-making rooms everywhere. And that means less time they can spend on China, which is Biden's main foreign policy goal of his administration. And the second would be that Russia will have to rely more on China to offset Western sanctions triggered by an invasion into Ukraine. Yeah, the Russian economy is more sanctions-proof than it was in 2014, and Moscow is worried about becoming too dependent on China, but the country will have to look to China for injections of cash and new projects if it wants its economy to grow. So to kind of close out with some few thoughts, with this enhanced relationship between Russia and China, it is ultimately driven by their desire to push back against a global world order led by the United States. And in my view, it is the West, broadly speaking, it is a time being of our character being tested. Essentially, how does the West, especially the United States, view its role in the world? Is it a position of luxury and nothing else, or is it in fact a position of leadership that has a large say in the outcome of global events? The reason for such an aggressive Russia and China in the recent years is because there has been a lack of conviction of what America's role is in the world. And once a conviction is made on how to stand and how to behave, I think you'll see a response from these countries appropriate to how America should be behaving and how it should be leading the global world order. So thanks for tuning in for this very brief episode and bearing with my post-COVID throat. We'll be doing these weekly episodes again. Hope you're picking up what I am putting down. I am Matt Parker, and this is Brief Before Impact.